Happy Sabbath. This time last week, the leadership team of Tacoma Park was away at a retreat. We spent some valuable time together praying and getting to know one another and laying the groundwork as we plan for next year. It's good to be back here at our home. I am a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. This is a Seventh-day Adventist church. Many of you are Seventh-day Adventist believers. The word Adventist means coming. We believe in the coming. That's a pitiful response. And maybe that's why the Lord has moved upon me to preach a sermon this morning in this Seventh-day Adventist church on the second coming of Jesus Christ. The good news of the second coming is the hope of this church. Dr. Deshaies, that's who we are. We're Adventists. We believe in the coming. Huh? Kim, that's what gets me up in the morning. I don't care how bad the day is. I don't care how high the bills are. I don't care how stressful the challenges are. I know, Rick, he that shall come will come, and I'm going to get out of this mess. Come on, y'all. Hey, Brody, trouble don't last always. Why? Jesus is coming again. I'm trying to get you stirred up. You ain't there yet. I'm trying to get to you. I'm trying to get you to lift the shackles off your life and the chains off your brain. I'm trying to get you to understand that there's a reason why we are who we are. We're not just, Wally, another denomination. We're a movement. We believe we're headed somewhere. I actually believe that one day he will break through the clouds. I'm going to see his face. Dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm going to see my son. I'm going to see my mother. I'm going to see uncles and aunts and cousins that have gone before. I will see them because the Bible also says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And so you see, Frank, that's why Justin had you come into this church. She wants you to know about the coming. Frank's in our Bible study class. She wants you to know that this world that we live in, all of this tension, all of this racism, all of this greed, all of these problems, they're going to be wiped away because the Bible says there's a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That gives me hope. So let's look at it. Just a basic Bible study this morning. Nothing new, nothing fancy. Let's renew our conviction and our hope in the coming. What do you say? We start with John 14, 1 to 3. You know it. But don't show off. Read it. Don't show off. I know you can quote it. But let's read it. Let's read the words of Jesus. Here they are, Sonia. Let not your heart be what? See, God knew you'd be upset. He knew you'd come to church on Sabbath morning, all messed up because of the week, your mind bent out of shape, car didn't start, furnace didn't heat up your house, people at work don't have any sense, and your children are acting like they were born from monkeys, and you're just all messed up. You're sitting in church, your brain is all messed up, and the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Calm down, chill out. Isn't that good news? Then he goes on and says, ye believe in God. Come on, come on, say it with me. Believe also what? Now he's saying, since I'm the one talking and making the promise, you got to believe it. He's actually saying that the promise ought to affect your life. How you act, how you think, how you spend. If you believe his coming, don't you want to be ready? I said, don't you want to be ready? Yes. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now it gets warm. Now it gets fuzzy, America. It gets fuzzy. I go and prepare a place how? Now don't say it like that. Say it like this. I go and prepare a place for Henry. Put your name in it. Let's say it. I go and prepare a place for Henry. Yes. Now the Lord has blessed me. My house is paid for. Been paid for years. But, you know, it's got a roof that needs to be fixed. Oh, yeah. I'm saving up for it. Yeah. Right now, I didn't finish raking all the leaves, so I got leaves out there. I got to rake them. I live in a world where the leaves fall off. Off the trees. Come on, y'all. It's the kind of world I live in. Stuff falls off. Stuff falls apart. Yeah, I need some new carpet in some places. Yeah. Not like my little house. Beautiful yard. I love it. But the Lord said, that's your motel. Anybody listen to me? He said, I'm preparing a place for you. And then he really gets warm and fuzzy and says, that where I am, ye may be what? Also. Now I'm really feeling good. Because he's not just preparing a house. He's saying, I want you, Henry, where I am. This is God talking, not your neighbor. No, this is God saying, I'm lonesome without Henry. My. Well, y'all just too calm this morning. I'm gonna celebrate by myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody wants me with them. And it's not just anybody, it's God. How about that, Brother King? Now. If I go and prepare a place for you, what's the next words? I want everybody to say it. I will come again. Now these words were so precious, the early Christian church turned these words into a title, Hebrews 10. Can't wait on you. Hebrews 10. Get there as soon as you can. Hebrews 10, verse 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. I'm in verse 35. Which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the... John 14, 1 to 3, begin to be referred to, Brother Williams, as the promise. And whenever early Christians were talking and they mentioned the promise, they were referring to what Jesus said in John 14, 1 to 3, the promise. It was just precious to them. So they summed up those three verses in one phrase, the promise. What you living for, Samuel? The promise. What you living for, Ebenezer? The promise. What you living for, Sarah? The promise. We're counting on God to fulfill his promise. Now, it kind of makes me think of my dad. He made some different kind of promises on Sabbath. If you acted up in church on Sabbath, God made a promise. My dad made a promise. He would say, wait till the sun sets. And I can guarantee you he kept that promise. This is God talking. Now, here's what happened. Go to 1 Peter. Go to 2 Peter, rather. Here's what happened. 2 Peter 3. And it disturbed 2 Peter 3. Knowing this verse 3, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, "Where is the?" Yeah. See, that's the thing you got to watch for. As life piles up, you can be tempted to think God has changed his mind. Says there'll be scoffers. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, some of those scoffers are members of the church. You can't let life situations cause you to think God has changed his mind. Where is the promise? Where is the promise? For they say, everything stays the same like it was before. And then he goes on to explain in verse 5, but you're ignorant of the way God is. You know, he that shall come will come. He's a promise keeper. And he says, then he goes on to explain how the heavens will melt and the elements shall melt. Peter is saying, I don't care how rough it gets. Don't you question God's coming. Now, I don't know about you, but the world I'm living in, I'm telling you, he needs to come as soon as possible. And because of these events, God said, look, you can look to those events because over in Matthew 24, you're going there, Matthew 24, just a Bible study this morning, Matthew 24, Jesus gives us all these various signs about the coming. You remember that? Yeah, verse 3, Matthew 24, as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came with him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He begins to tell them, take heed, no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, false Christ. Verse 6, wars, rumors of wars. Is it all taking place here? These things must come to pass, nation against nation. Verse 7, kingdom against kingdom. Are these things happening? There shall be famines. Are these things happening? And pestilences, that means diseases. Is there Ebola out there? Is there AIDS out there? Come on, folk. Come on. God, Jesus said, here's what I'm going to do. Since it's going to be bad times, I'm going to use the bad times to alert you that good times are almost here. You should have said amen. So the bad times, rather than discouraging you, Jesus said in Luke, when you see this stuff, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. For in Luke 21, he talks about waves roaring and signs in the sun, moon, and stars and people's hearts failing them for fear. See, to me, a few Sabbath school, I baptized you into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You an Adventist now, child. Yeah, you got a different name. Adventist. See, we're folks that we sit calmly on the plane when there's trouble. We sit calmly. When a hurricane comes in, we ain't worried. Because even if the Lord blows down my house, in my Father's house are many mansions. So we have a different attitude. We can't pay our bills. We know we serve a Father who's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. We already understand. We don't need to get all caught up in the stuff going on here because all this is going to burn up. And that's why I don't mind you having a nice house. Have a nice house. Have nice clothes. Give him something to burn up. Go on and pile it up. Fill up your closet. Buy a Lexus. It'll burn real good. Buy that thing. But don't get caught up in it. Hey, don't get caught up in it. Why? This is all temporary because the Lord says, I would not allow decent people, good people, righteous people, to try to live forever in an unrighteous world. I'm going to give you a world wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can you imagine it? No cursing. No smoking. No alcohol. Can you imagine it? No crazy folks. Can you imagine it? Hey, don't sit there pious. Now, some of you work with some crazy people. Some of your bosses are crazy. Yeah, don't take care of all that. Everybody's going to be straightened out. Isn't that nice? Yeah. No weeds in the lawn. Yes. No termites. He's going to put Terminex out of business. No mortuaries. Come on, y'all. Can't you say amen? No mortuaries. No grave sites. Come on, somebody. And I don't know about you. I'm going. Yeah, I'm going. The Tacoma Park's nice. It's all right. It's nice. No more churches. See, some of y'all think this is the most beautiful sanctuary you've ever seen. You just love the sanctuary. He going to burn it up. Because every day is going to be Sabbath by and by. Hallelujah! The object of my worship shall now be with me every day. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, when is he going to come? Matthew 24. When's he going to come? We know there's signs. We know there's signs. Yeah. But when will he come? Look at Matthew 24, verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. You see that? But of the day and of the hour knoweth no man. See, there's a reason for that. We were growing up, Pastor Jeff. My mother and dad both worked. We got out of school about 3:30, got on the school bus, got home. We had assignments. Yes, sir. My brother, who was a better, more diligent worker than me, he had the front rooms to clean. I had the back rooms. That was mom's sign of mom's confidence in my work. Back rooms. Gave me the back rooms, the rooms nobody could see. Bill had the front rooms. Now, mom and dad got home every evening at 5:30. And dad owned one of those Dynaflow Buicks. Now, you young folk have no idea. But the old folk, the Dynaflow had a transmission that didn't change. You could just hear it far away, just kind of moaned. Now, we lived on Moses Road, almost at Stivers, at that Conservancy Road. 2 miles away was the intersection of Route 123 and Stivers Road. Bill would come in, diligent, my brother, still is, diligent, clean his rooms. Me, I'm watching TV, watching the old Westerns. We called them shoot 'em ups. Yeah. Hopalong Cassidy. Now, some of y'all don't know what you're saying. Young folk, they don't know. You know, Roy Rogers. Come on, old folks. Somebody give me an amen. Roy Rogers, yeah. Gene Autry, yeah. I'm watching them. Bill would say, Henry, they're coming. Be fine. I'm just having a good time sitting there watching. I would wait. You could hear Dad make the turn and then hit the accelerator down Stivers Road, Brody. You hear that old Dynaflow moan. Now, my assignment was 2 bedrooms and the bathroom. Back rooms. I would try to clean 2 bedrooms and a bathroom in 2 miles distance. Are you following me? I'd hear the Buick. Here they come. I'm going to jump up now. I'm going to clean these rooms. Now, you know what's going on. I'm putting stuff under the rug. I'm throwing stuff under the bed. Are you listening to this sermon? No man knoweth the day nor the hour. And the reason why the Lord did not tell us is because of the Henry Wrights who gonna wait come on somebody, to the last second. Wait till the last second to apologize, the last second to put that thing down, the last second to end that vile relationship, the last second to put away that secret habit. You cannot wait till the last second. God says, I'm not going to tell them because I know them. I'll give them signs. When they say the earth falling apart, they know they ought to get ready. The Buick is 2 miles away. But I'm not going to give them a date because I want them to live as ready, Phyllis. How are you doing? Because you see, if you've read your Bible, you know there's two comings. There's the second coming, then there's your coming. The dead in Christ, somebody's going to die before he comes. So you can't wait till you see him. You may not be alive to see the clouds roll back. You got to deal with the coming as if it's coming tomorrow. Would somebody say amen? And so this coming has no time. It has signs. It has no time. But now, let's get back to why he's coming. John 14, 1 to 3. Why is he coming? See, in John 14, and John is a very interesting gospel because almost half the book deals with the last days of Jesus' life. There's very little history in the book of John. That where I am, there ye may be also. Now let me give you a little lesson in Bible redaction. I need this one now, gentlemen. I need this one. When John 14, 1 to 3 is spoken, it's in a setting. It's in a setting. We tend, Mary Ellen, to quote these words as if they're out there by themselves, but they're in a context. The context is John 13. Go there. John 13. John 13. Jesus is having a discussion, Frank, with his disciples. He's telling them, I'm about to die. And in the process of going through that, some of you are going to mess up. Look at it. Verse 36, John 13. John 13. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Are you following me? Look at verse 37. This thing builds now. Don't miss this. This is powerful stuff. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Verse 38. If you have your Bible, read it with me. Come on. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now, in the ancient Bible, there are no chapter divisions. There is no chapter 14 or chapter 13. It all just runs together. So the conversation taking place is between Jesus and Peter. You see it, Sonia? And he has just said to Peter, you gonna mess up. You gonna mess up, Peter. Peter says, oh, no. No, 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 no. And so the next words after verse 38 in chapter 13 is chapter 14, 1. And what does it say? Who's he talking to? Peter! Peter! Do you see it, Anwar? You see where I'm going? Peter! I just told you, you're going to mess up. But, don't be troubled. Because even though I know you're going to mess up, I'm already preparing a place for you. Somebody ought to shout right now. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go on to heaven. I'm going to work on your mansion. You're going to deny me. You're going to flee. You're going to take a sword and cut off the ear of the high priest servant. You're going to leave me all by myself. But that's all right, Henry. I know you're going to mess up. I know you won't be as faithful as you need to be. I know sometimes you'll spend my tithe. You're going to lie. You're going to do so. But don't worry about it, Henry. In the meantime, I got so much faith in my salvation power. I'm going to go on to heaven and start working on your mansion. Hallelujah! Oh, God, forgive me for getting so excited, but that moves my soul. It's to a broken, embarrassed disciple that he says, don't be troubled. He had to expose him in front of the other disciples. Then he looks him in the eye. Don't be troubled, Peter. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. That where I am, Peter, you denier. Where I am, Peter, you man of lost courage. Where I am, Peter, you big mouth with no heart. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If you are discouraged today, you've kind of lost your faith and your grit. If you've ceased to really be moved by the coming, if you're sitting here this morning with God's tithe in your pocket and you don't plan to give it, if you're sitting here this morning with a relationship that you ought not be in, God says, that's all right. You're an Adventist. I'm just going to go on and start working on your mansion right now. I'm going to go on and prepare for you. Because I can't stand to be where you're not. Later when he comes out of the grave, he says to Mary, go back and tell those disciples, I'm going to your father and my father. We're brothers now. And Jesus won't be satisfied till I am in the kingdom. What do you say, church? The great hope of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't you let anybody take that away from you. Don't you let anybody snatch that from you. You set your mind, you set your back, you set your face, you set your heart, you set your life. When the clouds roll back, I shall see the King someday. I'm going to be saved. It's going to be so sweet, folk. Oh, to gather together all of Tacoma Park. Maybe God will have a little Tacoma Park section up there on Sabbath. Because we can sing some hymns in this church. Yes, sir. We know how to have church here. Maybe there'll be Dunbar, just a place where the folk from Tacoma Park can say, hey, I remember that Sabbath morning when the pastor reminded us of the restored hope. And I kept my faith. I kept my promise. I'm here now. I'm here. I am here. And that little daughter of yours, Ditto, we prayed for last night at Anointed. No more concerns about surgeries. Both me and my wife are cancer survivors. No more concerns about cancer. I done read my Bible. Did you read your Bible? Yeah. This corruption. Don't get me started now. I got to be closing down. Don't get me started again. But this corruption, let me tell you, can I just take another minute? This corruption is going to put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. This body of mine shall be whole. Unable to have a foot ache. Hallelujah! How dare you miss the coming? Your life is all messed up, jacked up. You ain't never been nobody. Don't you want to be a somebody one day?
Some of you think you're fine now. Wait till Jesus fixes you up. You're going to sure enough be fine. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the Lord says, I'm going to give them hope. This morning in this sermon, I'm restoring the hope. What do you say? Isn't it good to sit in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and hear a sermon on the second coming of Jesus Christ? Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Just softly, Anwar, are you ready for Jesus to come? Just softly. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. And just think for a moment. Try to picture the coming. I don't know whether it'll be on a Tuesday or a Monday. Now, I'm kind of a romantic. I think he's going to come on Sabbath. Yes, sir. He got to come on Sabbath. Can you hear it? It's the trumpet of Gabriel. Let your mind work now. The trumpet is so loud and piercing that gravestones begin to move. Folks begin to come up from the depths of the ocean where ships have sunk. Folks swaddled by beasts come up from the remains of those beasts. Folks hacked up. The trumpet sound brings those pieces together, those molecules together, and the person comes up. But now there's no mark on their face. There's no boil on their back. There's no twist. Their eyes see and their ears hear. The lame walk. Picture the coming. Mountains begin to move. Islands disappear. Some run to the rocks and mountains, but not us. Oh, no, not us. We run out from the caves declaring, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. Picture the coming. Then we which are alive and remain are caught up with them in the air. And for the first time, we see the places he's prepared for us. We're speechless. Before he wipes away all tears, tears stream down our holy faces. For me, God? This for me? While I'm standing there, I hear a voice. Dad? Dad? It's my son Mike. I made it. Hallelujah! I made it. Henry? Now look, there's my little mama. I prayed for you, son. I knew you would make it. Oh, what a great reunion. The saints throw off their crowns and toss them at the feet of Jesus. We recognize we're not worthy to be here, but here we are, and he keeps his promise. He keeps his promise. Where I am, there you may be. And we shout, and we shout, and we shout, and we don't care how long we shout. I want you to be there, beloved. Some of you have got folks who've gone before you. They're counting on you. And so if you want me to pray for you right now, that you don't miss the coming, I know you're standing. Now raise your hand. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And I end this prayer with the words of John the Revelator in the 22nd chapter and the last verses of the Bible. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. John's response, even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated.